Let's open our Bibles together, please, in the book of Isaiah in the chapter 1. And we're just going to read a verse from God's precious word here, Isaiah chapter 1. And the verse is a well-known verse. It's verse number 18. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. The word of God simply says this: "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You know, there's none can deny tonight, when you look around society, that there's many problems that are facing the society in which we're living in. And you know, whenever we think about the problems of society, very few people are willing to identify just exactly what's wrong. We look for every cause under the sun. We look for every excuse for the blight that's upon families and destroying homes and families and hearts. But very few are willing to admit that the basic problem of the heart of man and the basic problem of society itself is man's sin. Now, the Word of God can't make it any clearer, but still man doesn't want to hear. The basic problem of man's heart is sin. But the sad reality is this, and not only do people not want to hear, the pulpits don't want to preach it. They no longer preach about this reality of sin. They try to make excuses for why people are living the way they're living, and why their homes are wrecked and destroyed, and what is happening there. Well, of course, it's just a breakdown in society, rather than confronting men and women with their sin. Friend, when you come to the Word of God, God doesn't do that. Isaiah the prophet tells us in Isaiah chapter 59, "Your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid his face," or come between you and him, "that he will not hear." The psalmist in the Psalm 51, he was seeking a blessing, and her brother talked about being restored. Psalm 51 is the backslider's prayer, but the psalmist, before he got to the place of blessing, had to admit, he says, "My sin. Lord, it's my sin." And friend, it doesn't matter what you call it, no matter what other people call it, as far as God's concerned, it's your sin. You have a sin problem. And that's the problem of man's heart. It's his problem of sin. Now, of course, the big question is this: well, if I have a problem of sin, can I get it dealt with? Can I have my sin taken away? Can I work it off? Can I change my life? Can I turn my life around? Friends, listen, even though you turned your life around, what about your sins, the past? Those sins of the past will still stand before you and still stand against you on that day of judgment when you stand before God. You will not be able to justify yourself in the presence of God, and you'll never know God's pardon, and you'll never know God's peace by the efforts of your own hands, because as our brother gave the verse of Scripture, "By grace are you saved through faith, and not, it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, it's not of works, lest any man should boast." And the sin problem that's in man's heart is very deep. I'll tell you this, the waters of baptism could never reach the depths of your sin. You cannot excuse your sin. You cannot cleanse your sin. You can't work off your sin. It's only the blood of Christ that can forgive you your sin. And because of time tonight, I want us to just go straight to this verse 18. Because I've got great news in this verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." There are five simple things in this passage of God's word, and don't worry, we're just only going to touch on them. And I pray the Spirit of God will do the rest. Notice first of all the person in this passage of, or this verse of God's word. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet." Now you'll notice in the verse there are actually identified two persons. On the one hand, "come now," and it says, "come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." And there's the person, saith the Lord. And then he goes on to say, "though your sins..." And he's speaking to Israel here. He's speaking to a people who have turned their back on him. And he's speaking, "your sins." And friend, let me tell you this. I don't care what you try to do. It's your sin.
You may try to tell me, well, you know, I am as I am because society has made me this way. I am as I am because my family have pushed me this way. I'll tell you this, my friend, you can hide behind whoever you like, but it's your sin. Do you remember whenever God confronted Adam concerning his sin, and he said, Adam, where art thou? And then he asked Adam, what had he done? And he said, God. He says, the woman, she gave me an I did eat. In other words, you know, I know I've done wrong. I know that I've sinned against you, I've disobeyed you, but God, really, it wasn't me, it was her. You think, well, he could plumb no further than hiding behind his wife? Well, he did. He turned around and he says, God, the woman that thou didst give me. In other words, not only her fault, but God, it's your fault. Because, you know, you gave her to me. And if you hadn't have given her, I wouldn't be in the mess of the men. And what Adam was simply doing, my friend, was doing everything but admitting his sin was his. And friend, let me tell you this, you can hide behind everyone in this church tonight. Because, and you say, preacher, that's the reason I am as I am. I want to tell you, God doesn't buy it. God doesn't buy your excuse. It's your sin. And it doesn't matter, my friend, who was the one that encouraged you along that road. In the end of the day, it's your sin. And when you stand before God, you'll not answer for somebody else. You'll answer for yourself. But thank God in this verse, God says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isn't it amazing here that this burdened person that's burdened down by the load of sin doesn't want to talk to God? It's actually God that wants to talk to them. It's God that's reaching out to them and God's saying, listen, come now and let us reason together. Listen, come and talk to me. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. Just as it was in the days of Adam. Because when we go back to that passage of God's word, the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden in the cool of the day and God says, Adam, where art thou? Now, Adam sinned, friend, but Adam didn't call out to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I've sinned. No, no, it was God that followed Adam. It wasn't Adam that turned to God. And that's grace indeed. And so we find that indeed, it is God that is saying to the sinner, it is God that's saying to the man or the woman, even in this service tonight, he says, come now and let us reason together. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. You'll find in this passage of God's word, it says there in verse number 2, it says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. This is God speaking here. Look at verse number 9. It says, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. He's the Lord of hosts. Look at verse number 20. It says, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken this. And so we find the person here, the person that's doing the speaking and the person that's doing the calling here is the Lord. You know, I want to tell you, there's some people go out of a gospel meeting and they think the preacher has annoyed them. And they, you know, I remember a person going out of a gospel meeting just like this, saying to her loved one, she says, I'll never be back there. Because you told the preacher all about me. And I'll never be back. Friend, let me tell you, the person never told me anything about her loved one. The Spirit of God took the words of the preacher. And just as our brother talked about conviction, the Spirit of God convicted that person about their sin. And the Lord wants to reason with your soul tonight. Isn't God gracious? My God doesn't just let you go on there and go to hell and die in your sin and perish and be damned for all eternity. No, God and love and God and mercy and God and grace. He's calling. That's the person. Secondly, notice the people. He said this, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. Who were these people? I wish you had time tonight. I can just only mention them. You can mark them yourself and study this yourself. First of all, they were rebellious people. Look at verse number 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. See, friend, this is a willful rebellion. God says, I have nourished you. God says, I have brought you up. You're children that I have nourished. Listen, God has been good to you. There's not a person in this meeting tonight, but friend, listen, God has been good to you. I'll tell you how good God is. God has spared you. There's others that are in eternity now that wish they had the opportunity of sitting where you're sitting. They would wish that they had the opportunity of hearing the message once again and a call from God. But God has spared you. The Lord has taken care of them. He said, listen, I have nourished you. He says, I brought you up. That's true. He brought them out of Egypt. The Lord brought them through the wilderness. Yet with all of that, he said, listen, you're rebellious children. There's people in this meeting tonight, friend, that just sums you up. You're rebelling against God. It's not that you don't know the truth. It's not that God has to say anything more to you to make you believe or to make you know what he says in his word. No, you know it. Because some of you, as from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, but you're a rebellious child. You're rebelling against God. You're not rebelling against the church. You're not rebelling against the preacher. You're rebelling against God, against the word of God, against the authority of God. He says, yet they have rebelled against me. Then look at verse 3. He says this, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass knoweth his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. You see, the dumb ass doesn't his own its master. He came home to eat at the crib. But these people are ungrateful. Yes, you've heard the call of God before. You've heard the word of God before, friend, but listen. You are ungrateful to God for what God has done. You've continued to rebel in your sin. And then look at verse number 4 quickly. I wish I had time to go into all of this. He says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. They were loaded with sin. They did nothing but sin. They were full of sin. They multiplied their offenses. Do you realize that that's what you've done today, friend? You've taken all the blessing of God, and what you're simply doing is multiplying your offenses against God. Another day of sin. We held the gospel mission couple of weeks ago, but 2 weeks have passed, friend, listen, and you heard the call of God, and you heard the voice of God, and you heard the word of God, and yet what have you done the past 2 weeks? You've just loaded up your sin. You've lived another 2 weeks in sin. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with sin, the seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. And then look at verses 5 and 6. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Listen, here was a people that just seemed to be immune from correction. They didn't yield when God called. They were obstinate. They were impenitent. They were hardened in their sin. They were so taken up with their sin that even when God had stricken them, what does he say? You just revolt more and more. Then what has God to do to really stop you? What has God to do to really make you listen? Because you are immune to God's correction. You're just going on as if there was no God at all. That you are not answerable to him. And yet the amazing thing about this people, and we're going to move on from that, but listen, these were a religious people, because look at verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? Unto me, says the Lord. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I am delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. What does God say? He says, listen, you have neglected my word. You have refused my correction. And yet you observe the ceremonial law. You go through the rituals of religion. You know what God said? God says, I have enough of it. I am full of it. And I think it's a tragedy, friend, when God's fed up with you. When you make God sick. And God says, listen, I've had enough. The awful thing of God was to say that tonight, friend. I've had enough of you. See, the word of God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There's the person. There's the people. Look then, thirdly, the promise. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And friend, here's the promise. Thank God, God can forgive you your sin. Maybe there's someone sitting in the meeting tonight and God is, and the old devil's saying to you, you know, there's no hope for you. God wouldn't have the likes of you. God has given you up because you have lived all of these years and lived all and taken all the blessings of God, but you've lived them for self and you've lived them for sin. And as far as God is concerned, God will not have you. God is a God ready, the Bible says, a God ready to pardon. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I haven't time, but I'd prepared this in my message tonight. If you go through to the New Testament and you see the lineage of Christ in Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, you'll find that there are three women that are mentioned there. And the amazing thing is this. The three women's not Rachel and not Rebecca. Those godly women. No. You say, well, why aren't they there? Surely Rebecca, surely Sarah should be there. Who are the three women that are there mentioned in that passage in Matthew's Gospel chapter 1? There was Tamar. There's Rahab. And there's Ruth. And that's the amazing story of grace, friend. That God put those three women in it. Who was Tamar? You can read the story. She was the Canaanite woman. And she committed incest with her father-in-law, Judah, because he wouldn't give her a son like he promised when her husband died. And she played the harlot. And she bore two children to him. Twins. Who was Rahab? Rahab was the harlot. Who was Ruth? Ruth was a Moabitess whom God brought out of Moab. And when I look at that story, friend, let me tell you this. Listen, it just sums up what the promise is here. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, because the Lord Jesus Christ is known as the friend of sinners. Thank God he went to Jericho. And he found there a poor blind man begging. He went to Samaria and he found a woman at the well. He went to Gadara and he found a man that was possessed of the devil. And he went to the cross and he found a thief. And one night, blessed be God, he found me. He found me too. The grace of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. Listen, he said, I did not come to call the righteous. Lord Jesus, who did you come? He says, I come to call sinners to repentance. Men and women in this service tonight, I thank God the gospel's good news for sinners. That while we were yet sinners, lost and helpless and hopeless, with our back to God and our feet on the way to hell, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a Savior. Do you know what he says to sinners? Listen, though your sins be as scarlet, you may be deep down in sin tonight, but praise God, let me tell you, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. He'll wash you clean. Cleansed. Now are we clean. What an amazing work of the grace of God in the heart of men and women. Let me tell you, my friend, God is able to do that for you. God is able to save you, man. God is able to save you, woman, because he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Christ. We have the person. We have the people. And we have the promise. But praise God, we have something else. We've got the period. We'll finish here. He says, come now. Come now. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, yes. Friend, to be honest, listen, if you are going to be saved tonight, you've got to own up to your sin. Can't hide, for there's no place to hide. There's no escape. The all-seeing eye of God sees your heart as it is. And he says, come now. Some people say, but would I not need to wait till I'm better? Would I not need to change my life and do this and do that? No, 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 friend, listen. That's not the way of salvation. Notice what it says in verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But you've got to come now. Can I ask you a question as I close tonight, and I thank you for listening. Are you willing? Are you willing and willing to obey? The Lord Jesus Christ said this to the people. He said this, ye will not come to me. You're not willing to come to me that you may have life. He looked over the city of Jerusalem. And as he sat there on the Mount of Olives, and the Savior looked into that city where he had worked his miracles, and when he healed the sick, and done many wonderful works, and he looked into that city, and the Bible said this, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee, as a hen would gather her brood under her wing. But he said this, but ye would not. You didn't want me. You weren't willing. And you know what Jesus did on that mountain? He wept. He cried over an unwilling people. that would not come. As he looks over Macrofelt tonight, does it not break the heart of Christ that you have heard the gospel so often, whilst others have never heard? And yet you're not saved. And here you are, another Sunday night, another week near eternity, another week near hell, and you're not willing. He says, come now. Now's the time. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Listen, the Lord desires you to come. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word, and thank you for what our ears did hear in the testimony tonight. We thank you for thy grace. Oh God, thou wast so gracious, and for that we return thee thanks. But oh God, I pray in Jesus' precious name that, oh, that thou wouldst speak again. Oh, that thou wouldst call again to men and women in this meeting tonight, young people. You've called so often. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Almost persuaded now to believe. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on the alcohol. Please, God, give deciding grace. Blessed Holy Spirit, draw the sinner effectually to Christ. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, the meeting's over in a moment. What about you? What's your answer to him? Are you willing? Will you bow the knee tonight? Will you call upon him? As our brother quoted, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, praise God, shall be saved. Not a doubt about it. And the devil's a liar when he says you're too deep a sinner, because though your sins be as scarlet, God says they'll be as white as snow. I'll make you clean. You can go home tonight clean. Your past blotted out, never to be remembered against you anymore. Why won't you take that from his gracious hand? Sir, sister, just plays that little verse, just as I am. And God's people are praying. I simply invite you tonight. If there's a man or woman, young person in the service, you say, preacher, God has spoken to me. I've got to get this settled. I've wrestled with this long. I've rejected. I've rebelled. And God has disciplined and chastised, but I've just gone on. I've got hardened to it. Friend, I fear for you. I do. You can't rebel against him and prosper. And just as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and sister prays that little verse of invitation. If there's a man, a woman, young person in this service, say, preacher, God has spoken. And tonight I come. Well, Lamb of God, I come. Would you just lift that hand right now and indicate it towards heaven, friend? Don't be afraid or ashamed. Father, mother, son, or daughter, the closing invitation. You indicate that desire. O Lamb of God, I come. Thank God, last Sunday night, the dear man did come. What about you? Will you come now? I'm closing with a word of prayer. I'll go to the minister's room. slip around the side of the church or through the door here at the front, but make your way into the inquiry room, friend. We'll gladly point you from God's word how you really can be saved and know you're saved and be sure you're saved. And if you're backslidden, get back to the Lord. Sever us with thy blessing tonight, Lord, and keep us in thy fear and put upon us thy favor. Bring the lost to yourself, your son. Restore the fallen for Jesus' sake. Amen.